Hi, I'm Natalie from Boston, Massachusetts.
Hey, this is Edmund from Montana.
Hi, I'm Dan from Ypsilanti, Michigan.
The Sound of Young America is an independent production supported by listeners like you and me.
If you'd like to donate to support the show, visit MaximumFun.org.
And click on Donate.
The Sound of Young America's trip to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas was supported by Phillips Cinema, celebrating short film, online at facebook.com/Phillips Cinema. I'm Jesse Thorne, live on tape from my house in Los Angeles. It's the Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org and PRI, Public Radio International. It's the Sound of Young America from South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. My guest, Malcolm Ingram, is an acclaimed documentarian. His first film, Small Town Gay Bar, looked at the denizens of a, well, small town gay bar and how they dealt with being gay in the deep, deep South. His new film is a celebration of gay bear culture. It's a world of largely large and frequently hirsute gentlemen who have found themselves in this subculture of male American homosexuality in a remarkable way. The film follows about half a dozen bears talking about how they came to the culture and what it means to them. Here's one of them.
I think people are taking a second look at the why we're together and why we're supposed to be bears. I just think it's really important that people know that they've got a place to go. Society can be very mean. All they want to do is have a chance to find somebody to love, live a pretty normal life, and enjoy it, and, you know, be able to shine. And the bear community allows you that.
Malcolm Ingram, welcome to the Sound of Young America.
It's excellent to be here. Thank you very much.
I was born and raised in San Francisco, and I'm 28 years old, so I'm right in the demographic where I have a very solid understanding of what a bear is. But I feel like our listeners across America, maybe we're hitting 40% with being comfortable with that and knowing what it is. And that may be ambitious. So to start things off, tell us your understanding of who is a bear, what is a bear, and what the meaning of this designation is.
I don't like to be a guy to kind of like label people and be like, you're a bear or anything. I think that it's something. It's this kind of classification system that I think the guys came up with. It kind of began in the mid to late 80s. And essentially, it's just kind of like this kind of like masculinity meets hair, sometimes meets girth. And it's just kind of thing that's kind of taken over. It's become a bit of a thing in the gay world. But essentially, that's just what it is. It's just kind of big, hairy, masculine guys that just kind of hang out, and it's bears.
You're a big, masculine,
hairy,
bearded gay guy. Did you come to the subject because you yourself identify as a bear?
I mean, the funny thing is that I really kind of struggled with the fact whether I wanted to make this documentary or not. But essentially, my executive producer, Kevin Smith, was like, look, it's something you're very passionate about, obviously. And the bear community has really given me a lot. It's truly given me a place, like, from everything to, like, it's given me, a sense of self-worth. It's given me a place to, you know, get laid. It's given me a sense of community. I mean, I didn't come out of the closet till I was in my 30s. And essentially, because I had nowhere to go to. Like, if I came out of the closet, I was kind of going into an empty space because gay culture as it existed didn't make any sense to me. Like that kind of queer for the straight guy kind of, I always kind of consider, like, when I look at queer for the straight guy, I imagine what a black person must feel like seeing like Aunt Jemima and being like, I don't know what the hell that is, but it ain't me. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, this ridiculous concept of what the mainstream concept of what gay was made no sense to me whatsoever. And I really had a problem coming to the closet until I actually found a place where I belonged, and that was the bear community.
That is, in part, the story of many of the subjects of your film. The film follows sort of personal testimonies from half a dozen or so men who identify as part of the bear community. Let's talk a little bit about your personal story. I was surprised to hear you say when you mentioned it offhandedly at the Q&A last night after the screening, that that you hadn't come out until your 30s. Did you think of yourself as gay and wish you could find a place yourself for yourself within the gay world, or did you see gay as being something different from what you were and thus struggle to find an identity?
I literally, when I was in my 20s, thought that I was gay, nobody would ever want to have sex with me, and I was never going to have a normal relationship ever. Like, that was my 20s. And that was a really real feeling that I had, because essentially there was, like, essentially when I'd walk into a gay bar, essentially I would get the look that, like, you know, the bus that shows up that nobody's waiting for, just kind of everybody kind of looks, politely looks away. Like, that was kind of my experience going to a gay bar. And it just kind of like that, you know, I mean, we're all in the end sexual human beings. So essentially, if you don't have any sexual currency, it's, you know, it basically does a real job on your self-esteem. So that was my experience in my 20s. Like, it just kind of like I had nowhere to go. And then when I finally found a place, I mean, I had a lot of people find this thing through the internet. I had a great experience where I had a really kind of organic bringing to it, where I was actually in a gay bar in Los Angeles, and a kindly bartender was cool enough to be like, hey, you know what? This might not be your place, but let me tell you about this place to go. And like, literally, he sent me this place called the Fault Line, and it was totally like, once I went in there, it was just like trumpets blaring. It was like, ah, my people, this is amazing. And it was, and everything kind of changed.
Do you remember that literal first time that you stepped into a bear club or bar?
Absolutely. I mean, it could have been totally an educational. Like, it was really funny. It was like because I did every kind of cliche. Like, I basically walked, like, it was way out in Melrose in the middle of nowhere, but I still walked by the entrance, like, you know, 10 times. You know, I'm not walking in there. I'm, you know, I just kind of like, and finally I kind of scooted in, and then kind of, it was just like, I just
saw.
Were
you whistling the whole time?
Just out for the papers. But I mean, but when I finally went in, it was like, I just remember like looking around and just seeing like guys that, and guys looking back at me, like that was the connection. I mean, the gay world is has a very interesting shorthand where so much communication is done through a glance. Through eye contact, so much is kind of, you know, so much communication is done. And, like, you know basically how somebody feels about you by eye contact. Like, you could actually say, like, let's have sex with an overextended look. So basically to kind of walk into a bar and kind of, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, it's just like you feel like Marilyn Monroe. All of a sudden, oh, my God, I have currency here, like. And it was so overwhelming and amazing, and you know, and I got laid that night, and it was just kind of like it was you know it, you know, I mean, I don't want to simplify it, but it's just like, you know, contact, like that kind of like sexual contact is a completely important part of the human experience, and when you have it with you know, when your esteem is you know, when there's no self-esteem involved, it just feels very cheap and dirty to have sex. But when you actually get to feel desired and be desired, it's such an incredibly wonderful part of the human experience. And it's something I didn't experience for the first 30 years of my life. So you can imagine that, like, you know, not only should I be making a documentary, I should be, like, building, like, temples to this kind of bear thing that I found that actually really helped me kind of figure out, you know, it helped complete me, who I am.
One of the things that comes up in the film is something that, you know, anytime identity is involved will come up, which is people trying to figure out what a bear is, who's in, who's out, what's what, like what's important, what's not important. Were you nervous in making this film about this community that you're a part of and about making a document that would somehow misrepresent the breadth of this world?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole, like, that's why it was so important, because a lot of bears showed up yesterday, and of course, like, right after it was over, you're just like, okay, guys, did I get it okay? Did I do it okay? That's just such the complication of being, again, being the voice of something. Like, you don't want to get it wrong. What I wanted to make sure is that I tried to tell as a kind of a storyteller who, I have an interest in the subject. I have to maintain an objective interest in the subject and just forge ahead and just kind of like get to the root of questions that I'm interested in about the subject. And hopefully through that, like, basically it you just by asking people honest questions, you get the truth.
What was it that you felt was important to represent in this film that you're going to be presenting to, you know, many or maybe even mostly people outside this world?
Well, in the end, I mean, I don't make movies for, like, you know, the document, like, I don't make documentaries for, like, specific groups. I try and make it for people. And essentially, you want to leave people with a message. Like, you want everybody to get something from it. That's the ideal. And I think that kind of, like, my theme is just kind of, like, the true importance of community. Like, humans are very social, you know, beings. And we're incredibly social. And how painful it can be when you're kind of taken out of that kind of wonderful experience of socialization. And basically, the bear community has kind of, is this kind of thing that kind of got created, that has created this incredible, like, social environment for people who would never ever have found each other if there was no other way. Like, essentially, like, there's a moment in the film, one of my favorite moments in the film that my DP Andrew McDonald caught was, he was just, you know, we just run around and shoot stuff, and we wanted to make people sure know that they knew his camera was running. But there's these two young kind of guys who are kind of pudgy and awkward looking, and they're in a hotel lobby making out. And they're kind of really being warm. They're sharing this moment. And I just think that's the most beautiful moment in the movie, because it's like, you know that these two guys, without this community, probably wouldn't have found each other. But this moment they're having, is there's an eroticism to it. And it's just kind of like, these are two guys you would never imagine would share this kind of eroticism, and very openly, in a hotel lobby. And it's not like overtly sexual. I think it's more erotic than anything. And it's just kind of like, and it's such an intimate moment. And it's just kind of like, they know the camera's there, but they're kind of comfortable in their own selves that they just kind of allowed us to capture it. And it's just like, these are two guys who obviously, you can just tell that they've had some struggles with self-esteem and with body issue. But I think that I'm overreading into it, but I think that in that moment, like, I think that we captured something really special there.
Was the movie that you set out to make this celebration movie, or did you set out to make a movie that that sort of complicated this world?
I wanted to kind of, like, ultimately, I thought the story was going to be a little bit more, have a negative spin to it. Because essentially, I'm kind of, like, I have a pessimistic side to myself, and I think that the bear community, while it's been this wonderful gift to me, like, through exploring it, I thought that I would have some more negativity to say about it. And apparently, and just for the people I met, and kind of, you know, there was a realization that, yes, you know, there's problems in everything. Like, I think the biggest problem with the bear community is aforementioned in the high school thing with the AV club. That the bear community is essentially, I think the jocks are kind of coming in and just kind of like, hey, wait a minute. And essentially, like, kind of like the circuit queens that kind of existed, like, when they're in their 20s, all of a sudden are now getting kind of, like, chubbier.
You should clarify what
a
that
circuit
means.
Yeah.
For those of us who weren't born and raised.
A circuit queen, like, essentially, like, there's something considered a gay circuit. So I'm making a very, very blanket generalization about, like, this group of guys that essentially, like, the circuit would be, like, Palm Springs. Like, you know, there'd be, like, the white party, the black party, like, New York. And they basically it was gay men who would just travel to, like, these big party after party, do lots of drugs, you know, have a lot of sex. And, like, that was kind of, like, they're called circuit queens. And basically they're just there for a good time, which is okay, but, you know, it is what it is. There's not much depth to it. But essentially, those guys have kind of gotten older now. They've kind of gotten hairier. They're kind of, like, you know, they're getting kind of flabby and stuff. And that now, you know, these people who would be the equivalent for the jocks are, like, they see this thing, the bear movement, they're just kind of, hey, wait a minute. Like, you know, now we fit in. And just basically, and the common currency is masculinity. They're like, oh, we like masculinity. And it's just kind of like, and we don't have to shave, and we don't have to go to the gym. And it's just kind of like, all of a sudden people are assimilating this kind of thing for them. Like, they're just making it theirs, which is, it's kind of like, for me to complain about, it's like, it's great that people are finding something to join, but unfortunately they're bringing some negative attitude to it. And I think they're kind of, that circuit mentality is kind of permeating the bear community to a smaller degree, but it's certainly there. So, I mean, that's kind of negative stuff, which I touch on in the documentary. I thought I would get more into that, but I was just kind of like, why focus on the negative when there's so much positive?
It's The Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest, documentarian Malcolm Ingram, has a film here at the South by Southwest Film Festival called Bear Nation. It's about the gay bear subculture. The film's executive producer is Kevin Smith, who isn't gay, although he is a bit of a bear icon since he's so roly-poly and, you know, hirsute. Here he is talking about the ideas behind the film.
It was a mind-bending concept, and one I grew very comfortable with very quickly. I thought it was adorable. I was like, wow, there is somebody for everybody out there. Sooner or later, everybody gets taken care of. Not many people find that interesting or attractive. And to know that there are a bunch of people out there who have found people who are not only appreciated, you know, for the way they look, but like sought after, I don't know, that's kind of heartwarming.
Let's talk for a second about Kevin Smith. He is the executive producer of this film, and he also helped produce your last film, Small Town Gay Bar. Kevin Smith is famous, I would say, probably more for directing somewhat profane, you know, semi-indie, semi-mainstream, dialogue-heavy comedy feature films than he is for producing gay interest documentaries. And he's become something of a bear icon with some help from you.
Yes.
You show a clip of him appearing on the David Letterman show holding a magazine cover that features the two of you. And what's the magazine? A Bear's Life?
A Bear's Life, yeah.
Which I presume is a complicated bear-themed parody of Boy Scout magazines. But... tell me about how the two of you started working together and how you introduced him into this world where he's I don't want to say sexual god, but,
and you know, you could say it. No, I mean, Kevin met at the Toronto Film Festival. I was a journalist and he was there with Clerks, so he was basically beginning his journey, and he very much helped me out very early on, and he backed me as a filmmaker very early on, and I don't know what he saw, but God bless him. But, you know, but when it comes to the bear thing, like, essentially, like, as I started finding out about this community, I started realizing that, like, one of my best friends was like a god. Like, I found endless humor about it, but I couldn't really talk to it. Like, I didn't know how to kind of react to it. And then I found a book that had, like, a bear book that actually had a picture of him. And I showed it to him. And he, like, it's funny because his first reaction was just like he thought it was the greatest thing in the world, because essentially it's still attention. Like, it's still an incredibly positive kind of thing, right? It's just kind of like people find him very attractive. And I think that Kevin's absolutely has gone through his own issues with weight and self-esteem and body issue and that kind of thing. And I think that he immediately saw how incredible and how strong it was. Like, he instantly felt, you know, how cool that was to actually be objectified. Like, he was just kind of like, wow, that's amazing. And he... And essentially, when you have that kind of thing going on, I mean, I think that he really kind of enjoys playing into it. He, you know, he's flirty with the whole thing. Like, we just went, like, he just had that whole thing where he got kicked off the plane for supposedly being too fat to fly. He was leaving a bear convention when that happened, which was so ironic. It was so genius. Like, he just had this moment where he's in a room full of, like, hundreds of men who basically were just, like, you know, like, undressing him with their eyes. And he was just, like, it was such a powerful moment for him because he'd never really been to a bear convention before. So he was experiencing a moment of absolute acceptance and sexualization. And then an hour later, he's being ejected from an airplane for being too fat, where some could say he, like, flew too close to the sun on wings of wax. That basically there had to be payback for that moment.
Some might say. some might say indeed. Kevin Smith talks about something that actually other subjects of the documentary also talk about, which is the relationship between humor and this culture.
And, you know, Kevin Smith talks about it in terms of his own life. He basically says, if I wasn't fat, I wouldn't have been a success because I never would have become funny. And there's I remember a moment when one of the bears that you interview in the film talks about how humor was such an important part of him learning to deal with it. Tell me a little bit about how humor in your life has helped you deal with what I imagine must have been really difficult, which is, you know, not coming out until your 30s.
Well, happy, content people aren't funny. I mean, like, I think that essentially humor is such a great it's a great way of dealing with pain. It's that sugar. It just kind of it helps us really process pain. It's the most powerful thing that we have as humans to help us cope, I think. You know, a good sense of humor will get you through almost anything. And I think that, like, kind of that's my experience. Like, any kind of, you know, you'd hard-pressed to find a fat person who isn't funny. Because, like, that's the first, you know, the first level of defense, essentially. You disarm people by you basically make fun of the situation before somebody else can, thus disarming the situation. So, I mean, kind of that was my experience with it. It's just kind of like, you know, I just found funny ways to say the obvious before somebody else could, thus not hurting me. So essentially, you know, humor is very it protects you, and the like thus kind of like the movie ends up having some very funny moments, and I think because I think that it's people have very well honed defense mechanisms created through humor.
Well, Malcolm, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the Sound.
Thank you for having
America.
Me, man. It was great.
Malcolm Ingram's film Bear Nation just premiered here at South by Southwest. I have to say, it made me want to give the whole world a big hug. So thanks to you for that, well, Malcolm.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
That's our time for another Sound of Young America program. I have been your host, Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart. The show produced by Speaking Into Microphones. Our shows in Austin, Texas at South by Southwest were directed and produced by Nick White in Chicago. Our intern is Julia Smith. Our videographer, Benjamin Harrison, shot videos of all of our programs recorded at South by Southwest. You can find them on our website at MaximumFun.org. Our special thanks to the Mansion at Judges Hill in Austin, Texas, for providing us with space to record our shows and videos. You can find them online at mansionatjudgeshill.com. If you have thoughts about the show, you can always email me at Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, at MaximumFun.org. That's Jesse at MaximumFun.org. We'll see you next time on The Sound of Young America.
Production of The Sound of Young America is underwritten in part by Ask Metafilter. Thousands of life's little questions answered online at ask.metafilter.com.
The Sound of Young America's trip to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas was supported by Philips Cinema, celebrating short film, online at facebook.com/Philips Cinema.